Aprende idiomas con The Language Coach, un espacio para hablar de todo lo relacionado con el aprendizaje de los idiomas, estrategias, trucos, consejos, experiencias. Hoy tenemos idioma inglés, charlas con Aaron.
I love technology, but at the same time, I actually enjoy my time away from technology. And I think it's very important to have a balance between using technology or not. But tell us a little bit about your relationship with technology, Aaron.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty bad relationship with technology, not an unhealthy relationship, but I don't really like to be on my phone that much or on the screen. Like, I really, really don't. And I think that can negatively affect my relationship sometimes because I'm not always good at responding, because then I'll wake up and I'll have a day where it's like, okay, let's be healthy and not use the phone. But like, that's just not really how the world works right now.
Correct.
And I also have a few different SIM cards in a few different phones, which is not helping my issue with technology. So like, my brain is like scattered between different devices as well. Yeah, but then when I take a step back and I think about how do I, like, that's how I get my news, right? I don't watch my news on the TV, which is technology, but I read my news instead. So that is screen time. So I have to make decisions on, am I going to use my screen time for reading the news or talking to my friends on Instagram? But then I'll end up looking at people's stories and not being happy about what I'm seeing, because it's like couples that are happy, but then I'm like, I actually know you and you're actually not happy. And then that guy get like this weird debate in my mind about how people are fake and stuff. But yeah, I think technology is good. I think it's just overwhelming sometimes. It's hard to know how to use it in a healthy way.
It is overwhelming. I'm reading a book right now called Limitless, which is by a guy, actually his last name is Quick, but you spell it K-W-I-K. Mm-hmm. And it's about learning. It's about metacognition. It's about learning how to learn. No? But he talks about the four villains right now. I mean, the digital. So we have like basically an abundance of digital information that basically makes us overwhelmed. Also, the fact that since we can store everything on our smartphones, we're not using our brains that much for certain things. You know, like, remember, I don't know if you had to remember phone numbers, but we actually had to remember phone numbers or write them down. No, we had a little book where we could actually look at a phone number up, but nowadays it's so easy with all your contacts in your smartphone. Also, sometimes when you have so much information out there, you allow other people's opinions to actually shape your opinion. You know, if you don't do your deductions by yourself, I don't know. That one I disagree with, because I mean, at the end of the day, we would read, and I mean, reading a book or reading online, what's the difference in terms of reading someone else's opinion and then coming up with your own based on what other people think or your information? So, which of this actually happens to you, Aaron? Do you feel overwhelmed with the amount of information we have out there? Do you feel like we're not using our brains as much just because we rely on technology? What is your opinion about that?
Yeah, I think the key issue is that we're missing our critical thinking. So as someone, I do think critically, and I was trained in critical thinking as a philosophy major. And I remember in that first philosophy class that I took, reading, you know, somebody's theory and like reading a theory of a philosopher and being like, okay, so that is true. But then I'm like, wait, but that doesn't match this other theory that I read earlier. And I would have to constantly remind myself that that's because they're different theories, and everything you read, it doesn't mean you should think it's true as well. Like, you can have your own opinion. And I remember being a freshman in college and really struggling with that and reading papers and being like, but that is the opposite of what I just learned yesterday. And it's like, yeah, because it's a different opinion. So which one do I agree with more? So I think that today that is happening. People are reading their news and then they're just believing whatever it is they read. Like, I think the phenomenon of today is just the repeating of headlines, because people aren't even reading the articles. They're just reading headlines. And I definitely hear in conversations with friends and family, like, you can tell, like, I'm like, okay, that person is literally just repeating what something they heard on Fox News. Like, they're literally just repeating a headline that is a Fox News headline. And you can actually, listen. And I'm in the background, you know, like writing that down, and I'll look it up later. And it is a headline, and it is a quote from a talking head on a TV from earlier. And people are just repeating. So I don't know if those people feel overwhelmed by the information, because I don't think that they're doing the work to be overwhelmed. I think it's just absorbing and then throwing it back up out into the world. And that's why other people do feel overwhelmed, because it's like, how can you only be repeating like 10 words that you heard from somebody else without actually thinking for yourself or finding evidence?
Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges of our time. I mean, that is, because at the end of the day, we are losing some sort of some cognitive skills and some stuff that we, but on the other hand, like, are we gonna ignore the fact that these developments are going on? I mean, these technological developments, and I mean, they do improve our life in many things. I mean, we're having this conversation thanks to that. So, and this is kind of like Dick Tracy. Yeah, I don't know if you remember Dick Tracy, but when I was growing up, you had this cartoon about this New York cop, and he would talk to people on the phone, and you would see their face, and I was like, oh, when will that happen? Well, it's happening now. But on the other hand, well, we can't go to a bar.
Yeah. And I think it's like with technology, like the whole phone number thing, I did have to memorize phone numbers, and I still know my friends' home phone numbers and their cell phone numbers from high school and stuff. But, and I'm someone who I'll look up directions on the GPS and then I'll write the directions down, because I know it's a good exercise for my brain. And well, now I'm 28, but right, your brain is developing till 25, and who knows, maybe it is still developing and it can always get stronger, I guess. So my whole thing was like, okay, I don't want to just use GPS. Like, when I moved to Springfield, a new city, I'll use it to start, but then I have to start learning so I can get to know the city. And I think because technology is so easily accessible, it's easy to make that decision to just use the GPS and to not write the directions down, to not take the risk of getting lost, even though you have the GPS and you can always pull it out if you need it. Like, it's not like it's not there. So I think people are kind of they're choosing the easy option for their media intake, their news intake as well, which is just to watch and passively listen. And then it's just in your brain. And then instead of doing the hard work of thinking, it's just the easier shortcut way, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about phrasal verb, which is new, talking about that, news get around. What context would you use that phrasal verb, and what does that really mean?
Yeah, if news gets around, it means that people are finding out about something. So if news gets around, or if word gets around that somebody went to the grocery store without their mask on, whether it's in just your community, it means that people are either saying it word of mouth, they could be texting about it, or news gets around via the internet and via the world. Like a couple weeks ago, for example, we all, for some reason, knew about Will Smith and his partner Jada having, like, I don't know, cheating issues or something 5 years ago. Like, why is that news? I don't know, but that news got around, right? I was not looking for that information. I do not care about that information, but yet here I am aware of that information because news gets around somehow.
I thought you were going to say something like, News got around that Will Smith was not wearing a mask when he was in Whole Foods or something.
That I would be more interested in that information.
Is that actually going around? You know, like people texting, "Oh, we saw such and such without wearing a mask" or something like that?
Not within my circles, at least, but I'm also in Massachusetts, so I think that's kind of just not an issue here, but that maybe in southern states, but people might also be thinking about that as an act of courage or political courage to not wear a mask.
Okay.
Not sure what's happening down south. Staying far away from there.
Fair enough. All right. Get by on. What would that phrasal verb mean? To get by on something.
Yeah, if you get by on your like your charm, for example, it could mean that within the workplace, maybe you're like really bad at your job actually, but because you're able to like make people laugh or make people like you, it means that you're getting by, like you're getting away with it basically. Like you're succeeding in fooling people. Like, so you could get by on your looks, you could get by on your athleticism instead of your like intelligence in college or something like that. Yeah, so it's like getting away with something.
Yeah, it's being able to I guess pull something through, to be successful at something, not doing what you need to do, but because you have other extras.
I guess
to get by on that. Now, do you like baseball?
Not really. I don't like it, but I don't follow baseball.
Yeah, you know that they are playing baseball right now.
Oh yeah, they are. I think that's in Florida, right?
I don't know where it is, but I think, I mean, like, well, yeah, I don't follow baseball that much, but there are 1,000 idioms that use baseball.
That's right.
Yeah, so for example, to bat for someone. No, what would that mean?
Yeah, to go to bat for someone means to stick up for them. So to put yourself like physically in front of them, or just stand up for them, whether they're there or not, if someone's talking poorly about them or questioning if they should be hired or fired. If I were to go to bat for someone, I would say, no, let's not fire them. Let's keep them. Like, let's give them another opportunity. They try really hard. So yeah, it's just like putting your reputation on somebody else. Putting like your neck out for someone would be another way
to defend that someone. All right. What about throwing a curveball?
Throwing a curveball. So like COVID threw a curveball to the world, would be an example. So throwing a curveball is just like changing the game. Like, just completely changing something. So if your boss said, oh yeah, we're all going on vacation together. I don't know why your boss would say that, but if we're going on a boat, throwing a curveball would be like, never mind, we're all going on kayaks instead into the ocean.
Okay. Yeah, so like, it's like an unexpected, difficult thing.
Yeah, like a crazy, unexpected change, yeah.
Yeah. What about touch base? When you touch base with someone, what does that mean?
Yeah, touching base with someone is like checking in with someone. So just checking how they are, or where they're at with the project, if they need any help. Yeah, asking for an update, possibly.
Are you touching base with your friend, forgot his name, the guy that was here in Colombia and then went with you camping in New Hampshire?
Yeah, George. We touched base. We touched base a couple of days ago.
Okay. What is he up to?
He's good. He's in Michigan right now. And he has been hanging out with his girlfriend at his parents' second house in Michigan. And they have a mouse problem there.
So they've been
dealing with the mice. Yeah, but he like enjoys it for some reason. Yeah. So,
whoa. Yeah,
he's been killing mice, I guess, or rerouting them somewhere else. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
What is there to, where is the house?
I think it's like a vacation house, like in the woods or something. I'm not totally sure. Yeah.
All right. So it's okay. It's okay. If it's in the
woods. Yeah, that's normal. That's normal here to have mice. In the Northeast and I guess over there too in Appalachia. It's normal. Cause in the winter they look for housing, the mice. So yeah. You can hear mice. Like, I've had apartments where you hear mice in the walls, because that's where they live. They live like in the walls of houses. Yeah. My classrooms in Springfield, we always had mice. Like, we would always have mice. Like, luckily, I'm not too scared, but one of my teacher neighbors, like, a few years ago, she's so scared of mice, and she couldn't help it. She would literally, like, swear, like, drop the F-bomb, like, by accident in front of the children, in front of, like, seventh graders, like, when a mouse, she'd be like, when a mouse came in the class. And, I mean, the kids swear anyway, so it's not like they're, like, shocked. She's not swearing at the children, but it would just be funny because she, like, couldn't control it. She'd be like, I can't deal with these freaking mice. Like, oh, my God.
But it's mice, it's not rats.
Correct, yeah. We do have rats in general, but rats in your house, like, you would have to have, like, a disgusting, like, a dirty house that would have, like, cockroaches and rats.
Yeah.
Mice are, they're not harmless because they can chew wires and stuff. And you're, yeah. They eat your insulation and stuff like that.
Yeah, they can chew wires and they transmit rabies anyway. So you do have to get rid of them. But, yeah, I imagine that if your house is in the woods, not only you would have problems with mice, I mean, hopefully not, but probably some raccoons would be around.
Yeah, in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, I think.
Bears, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you have to be careful anyway. So,
yeah.
All right. What about to be in on something? What does that mean when you're in on something?
Yeah, when you're in on something, it means you're a part of it. So if you're in on, like, a prank or a joke on one of your friends, it means that you and a few buddies, like, all have this idea, and it's a kind of a secret, and you're in on it together. You're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you're just part of that inner group that knows the secret.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you're in on something. Yeah, that was, like, your classical school days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, don't tell her. She's not in on it.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, like, don't let her in on it. No.
Yeah. In this unit, we see part of expressing opinions, one of the classic sentences, like, starters, like, if I were you, I would. Can you tell us a little bit when and who would use this word and in what context, this sentence, and in what context? And I mean, how do you feel when people use it with you? You know, it's like, if I were you, I would.
Yeah. So it depends, right? Like, if you're looking for advice and you're asking someone for advice, then you want them to say, if I were you, this is what I would do. But if you're not looking for advice and you're kind of just venting and you're not looking for that guidance, if someone says, if I were you, I would do this, it can be kind of annoying because it's like, I don't care what you would do. Like, I'm just telling you what I'm doing. Or if you already made your decision and someone's trying to influence you to do something else. So it depends. It can be a really helpful sentence starter, and that could lead to really great advice if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that someone's trying to change your plan because they don't want you to leave, or they want you to be, or they do want you to leave. So someone could be trying to influence you for their own self-interest.
Yeah. If I were you, I would do this or I would do that. Yeah. It's kind of like, sometimes it's, yeah, if you ask for the advice, that's what you want to hear. But if you're not asking for it, it probably feels like you're getting scolded a little bit, you know?
Yeah, like with my two job offers, for example, one is a full-time position and the other is a 0.8, which is like 80% of a full-time teaching job. And so some people, right, are like, oh, if I were you, I would take the full-time position because it pays more. When really I'm not asking for advice, I'm taking the part-time position because the people seem better, and that part-time position actually does pay more because the salary scale is better in that district. So people,
okay.
So when I'm not like pitching it as I want advice from people, if people are just asking my situation, they're like, well, I've taken the full-time job because da 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 da, but it's like, I'm not asking you for your opinion, and you don't even know the details. So that's cute that you would take the full-time position. And that one's actually available because I'm not taking it. So why don't you go take that then? Oh, you don't want to be a teacher. Right. So why are you even?
Why are you even talking to me, you know?
Yeah. But then it's like, well, that's my fault for even talking to this person in the first place.
Cool.
Muchas gracias por estar en Aprende Idiomas con The Language Coach, un espacio para aprender todo sobre idiomas, inglés, español, francés, portugués, polaco. Hoy estuvimos hablando del inglés, estuvimos charlando con Erin. Me encanta tenerlos aquí con The Language Coach.